this morning what the Lord has impressed upon my heart this week for today. I want to give you some information about next Sunday's service. See how organised we are here at Mossvale Community Church. So next Sunday will be a little bit different because we are going to have a praise and worship and ministry service. This has been born out of a scripture that the Lord has laid upon Pastor Hugh's heart, which comes from Psalm 34, verse 18, where it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in spirit. And I wonder if that is you. Well, if that is you, or if it's someone that you know, then can we encourage you to come along here next Sunday for our time of ministry? We are going to have a prayer and healing service next week, and we want to prepare you because we are being prepared for that as a leadership. We're going to be praying and fasting throughout the week, expecting God to move in your lives and our lives next week. So if that speaks to you, or it speaks to you about someone that you know, because we'll be praying by proxy too, so even if that person can't be here, you can be here. You can be here to stand in the gap for them, and we will pray over the cloths and we will hand them to you, and you can give them to your friends and loved ones. We believe this is a word in season, and we have responded to words like this in the past, and we've seen an overwhelming response. We believe that God is going to do something special next week. And we encourage you, church, we invite you, church, to join with us. Why not pray and fast with us this week, fully anticipating that God is going to do something spectacular next week. In fact, before we even get to Sunday, because of the prayers of his people, that God is going to do something even through the week. So can I encourage those who are on prayer ministry team, this is for those who are on the prayer ministry teams, if you want to be part of the prayer ministry team next week, we ask you to be here at 10 a.m. up in the upper prayer room so that we can get our hearts and minds ready and prepared for the service ahead. So we will see you if you're on the prayer ministry team next week at 10 a.m. in the upper classroom. So please come along, bring your friends, bring those that are in need of a fresh touch from God. And as I said, bring those prayer needs and requests before the Lord. Amen. So, what are we going to look at today? Well, this morning we're going to look at living set apart. Everyone say set apart. Set apart. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he knew that he was set apart. That's why he introduced himself as this in Romans 1 verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. He begins his letter to the church in Rome, yes, describing himself as a servant and an apostle, but he begins his letter by telling them that he's been separated for the gospel. He's been set apart for kingdom purposes. Do you know that God has set you apart for his purpose? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. That's what you are. Psalm 4 verse 3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. You have been chosen by God. You are different, and you've been called to be different. That's your title for today. Be different. The Greek word for set apart is distima, which means to be separated. It means to stand apart. Second Corinthians now. Paul also says, come out from them and be separate. We are called to be different, to be separate from this world and its worldly influences, from the distractions and the temptations of this world, to come away from selfishness and pride and ego, and not let anything separate us from the plans and the purposes that God has for us. The vision word that I gave on the first day of this year for this church was that God has called us to run a race. In order to do that, we need to live the unhindered life, which means we can't let anything, church, separate us from the plans and the purposes in which God has for us here. And the way to do that is to come away from the world and spend time in his presence. Spurgeon says this, "Come away to private communion. Come away and shut the doors of your chamber. Talk with your Lord Jesus and have close and intimate dealing with him. Come altogether away from the world by making your dedication to Christ perfect, complete, unreserved, sincere, and spotless." I wonder, church, are we doing that? Are we coming away from this world and the worldly attractions and distractions, and are we seeking to be like him, to be like Jesus? Do we look and sound like Jesus, or do we just look and sound like the rest of the world? Can those outside, those in our sphere of influence, can they even tell that we are different? We live in an image-obsessed world today. Social media can be blamed for a lot of that. Social media has created a generation of self-obsessed people. People who are concerned with how they look, or how many likes they have, or how other people perceive them. Only the image that they portray to the rest of the world, is that really how they feel on the inside? Or in the inside, are they screaming in pain? You see, to the world around them, they may look fantastic and a wonderfully filtered picture and witty caption, but is that how they really feel? You see, I'm concerned, and there was a burden that the Lord laid in my heart, which is why I'm sharing this today. You see, I'm concerned that the Christian today is too busy trying to fit in. I'm concerned that the Christian today is too busy trying to please other people. And I believe that we may have forgotten our true commission. The Great Commission, Grace read this on Thursday at Woman to Woman, Matthew 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, we have been commanded to make disciples, not Instagram followers. We are commanded to love God and others, not bring adoration on ourselves. As the Shema commands us here, "O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord, and we shall love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength." Jesus reiterates these words in the New Testament. We've been called to love on the world, not impress it. And my fear is, in this image-centered world, we're trying to impress others into following Jesus rather than showcasing Jesus and allowing him to save them. I'll read that again. My fear is that we're trying to impress others into following Jesus rather than showcasing Jesus and allow Jesus to save them. So what I want to look at today is what I'm calling trendy Christianity, or fashionable faith, if you like. What does it mean? Does it mean we're all fashion-conscious individuals? Well, can I say, you all look very smart this morning. But that's not what I mean about trendy Christianity. I don't know about you, and I don't know every scripture in the Bible, but I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says that we are called to be popular, that we are called to be attractive and cool and trendy. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says that. In fact, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was not popular. He was not popular at all. He was unpopular with the religious leaders at the time because he taught truths, he spoke truths, and he acted in ways that were contrary to Mosaic law. He ruffled a few feathers because he did things and he said things in unconventional ways. He was unpopular because he emphasized spiritual values and he taught the futility of material things, which is in contrast to what the world is teaching us today. And I'm sorry to burst your bubble, ladies, but he didn't impress in the looks department either. And if you grew up like me, loving the Bible films, like the Ten Commandments and King of Kings and all these wonderful stories and films that have been made of Jesus, and Jesus was pretty hot in these films, with gorgeous blue eyes. But the Bible says that he wasn't actually much to look at. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 1, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. In fact, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He was not attractive to look at and he was not popular. But this is what he was. He was compassionate. He was loving. He was kind. He was patient. He was slow to anger. And when he opened his mouth, truth poured out like living water. And he's still all of those things today. And we have been called to be like him, to love like him, to love others like he would. We're not called to be popular. We're not called to be trendy. We've been commanded to love like Jesus. See, I believe we become too obsessed with how we're perceived as Christians. We've forgotten what it means to live as a Christ follower. Trendy Christianity has slipped into our belief system. Let me explain. This is what I call the coffee shop Christian. The Christian that hangs out in popular coffee shops, drinking the latest coffee fads with their wonderfully highlighted Bible open for everyone to see, wearing the latest trendy trainers. Now, before you all start defriending me on Facebook, let me explain. There's nothing wrong with drinking coffee in coffee shops. Pastor Hugh and I spend our life in coffee shops. That's practically our office. There's nothing wrong with highlighting your Bible and journaling. In fact, I recommend it. There's nothing wrong with wearing trendy trainers if you've got a pair. I don't, but well done you. But what I am concerned about is the message behind the image that we're trying to portray. The fact that we believe that we need to make Christianity cool. That we think that others will be won over for Christ if we look normal. See, we just look like you. We drink the same coffee as you. We wear trendy trainers just like you. So if we're trendy, if we're cool, then that must mean that Jesus is cool. Here's the truth. Jesus is awesome. One amen. Jesus is awesome, and Jesus is not awesome because you've made him awesome. I think we need to hear that today. Jesus isn't awesome because we drive an expensive car and wear trendy trainers and that everyone in our work can see that we're a Christian, so that must mean that Jesus is cool. Let me tell you why Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome because he's the King of Kings. Jesus is awesome because he died for our sins. Jesus is awesome because he rose victoriously from the grave. Jesus is awesome because he died for our freedom. Jesus is awesome because he ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father and he's making intercession for us. Jesus is awesome because he's coming back for us. That's why Jesus is awesome. It's not because you're awesome. It's not because I'm awesome. And it's not because of the way we look either. Rather than conforming to this world, we need to be transformed by Christ. We're called to be a set-apart people, not to be like the world. We're called to be like Jesus. In order to live as set-apart children of God, we need wisdom. We need wisdom, and we need the sword of light. We need discernment, and we need to be aware of the dangers of fashionable faith, because we don't want to be a church like that. God's speaking that very much to Mossvale. We want to be different. So let's concentrate on what that might look like at present in the church, and let's be aware of some of the dangers, some of the traps. So let's take trendy evangelism. You see, we live in a world today that's pushing this. Don't be too aggressive in sharing your faith. Don't be too hard. We wouldn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. We wouldn't want anyone to be put off us. Instead, what we'll do is we'll engage in light-hearted conversations. We'll have philosophical debates where no one is right and no one is wrong. And yes, let's not talk about hell. Because we wouldn't want to make our friends feel uncomfortable, would we? So what we will do is we'll talk about the great coffee that we've got on sale in our church. Come to church. You'll have a great cup of coffee. You'll hear great uplifting music. Let's avoid facing the truth. Trendy evangelism. Then the person that we're communicating with, they won't fall out with us. They won't feel uncomfortable in our presence. They won't defriend me on Facebook. So let's look the part. Let's talk the part. Let's talk about the good stuff. Yeah, you can talk about heaven, but let's just avoid talking about hell. Let's talk about the great coffee, but let's not talk about the conviction of sin. Now, here's the reality and the truth of this. We do have great coffee in this church, and I encourage you at the end of the service, please come and have a cup of that great coffee with us after the service. We do sing uplifting, wonderful songs here at Mossvale, but the result of trendy evangelism is that we develop a church that is impotent in sharing our faith, and souls will not be saved. Because unbelievers will therefore remain not uncomfortable, but comfortable, and it will never lead people to a place of true repentance. The reality is, our friends and our family are going to a lost eternity. And if we don't tell them about Jesus, then who else is going to tell them? But if we shy away from telling them about Jesus, they will not come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. If we preach a gospel that does not include repentance from sin, then I'm sorry to say, but we preach a false gospel. And we cannot slip into that. Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That is the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Paul was not afraid to share that message. I preached on this earlier in the year. He was unashamed of the gospel. He wasn't worried about ruffling feathers because he knew it was the power of Christ in him. Farbid will put that verse on the screen, Romans 1 verse 16. So instead of being afraid of what people think, we need to concentrate on the fact that our loved ones right now who don't know Jesus are going to a lost eternity. So we can't just massage egos. We can't just make people comfortable. We have to share the truth, but in love. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to become the sandwich board man and going around and telling everybody they're going to burn in hell. You know, Peter calls us to have hope in our hearts and to share that hope with anyone who asks. Be prepared to do that. Share the hope that you have in your heart. Tell your friends and family why you love Jesus and why you come to church. And it isn't because of the coffee. It's because he saved you. It's because you're walking in freedom. Don't be afraid to share that truth, because it's that truth that saves souls. It's your testimony that will bring your friends and followers to Christ. So that's trendy evangelism. What else do we need to be aware of? Well, praise and worship is such a massive part of our lives as Christian believers. It's how we express our love and our gratitude to God. It's how we communicate with Him. When the praise and worship team lead us on a Sunday morning, they lead us so beautifully into that sweet space where we enter in and the Lord is present and we can tell Him how much we love Him. And the Bible tells us that worship invites His presence. He inhabits the praises of His people. How beautiful is that? Worship, praise and worship is a meeting place, isn't it? We turn up. The Holy Spirit turns up. In that moment, we can just worship Him. We can just tell Him, Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You that I'm here to have breath in my body this morning, to be able to sing these praises to You. It's so incredibly important, isn't it? Praise and worship. However, there's a danger in the church today to make worship something that it's not. Trendy worship. Now, I'm not going to stand here and start criticizing the mega church, because this can happen here. Can happen in the small local church as well. You see, trendy worship is when it becomes about everything else other than Jesus. Let me quote Pastor Hugh from a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, when he was preaching on the glory of God, and he said this, and it just, there was a rise in my spirit. He says, have we got tied up in singing nice songs that we don't even recognize that God has shown up in the room? I don't know about you, but I was convicted right there. Oh Lord, let it never be about anything but You. This is when it becomes about the song. This is when it becomes about the singing. This is when it becomes about Your voice when You're singing. This is when it becomes all about the main singer. This is when it becomes all about the performance. This is when it becomes all about the big riff that we're going to do in the middle of the song. This is when it becomes about the cool sound system or the smoke machine. The only smoke we should be seeing is the glory of God's. This is when it becomes all about a performance. This is when it becomes about everything else other than Jesus. You know, I came across something that made me feel really uncomfortable. I wasn't sure whether I was going to share this or not, but I came across worship leaders that have their own merchandise. They have their own names on the t-shirt. And I felt uncomfortable with that. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I uncomfortable with that? You see, if we're going to wear a t-shirt with any name on it, let it be the name of Jesus. Because it's Jesus that we're showcasing. It's Jesus that we're lifting high. It's Jesus that we want the world to see, not us. When we're coming up here to preach, that's one of the prayers that we pray. Let nothing of me be seen. Let it all be You, God. Let them hear only Jesus. Let them see only Jesus. We're not called to showcase anyone but Jesus. And if you're going to wear a t-shirt advertising your faith, let it be the name of Jesus. Otherwise, we're in danger, church. We're in danger of looking and sounding the same as everybody else out there. We're just attending a concert. We're just buying merchandise. So what is trendy worship? Well, it's a church that expects to be entertained. I really hope you don't come here to be entertained. I hope you come here to worship God. Folk turn up for a concert. They look at the band to entertain them, to hit that big note, to win favor with the congregation. We don't show up here to watch a show. This is not a show. This is, yes, it's rehearsed because they want to use the gift skillfully that the Lord has given them. That's biblical. But it's not a performance. The songs that we sing are to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, to worship Him in spirit and truth, to enter His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Now that being said, there's nothing wrong with fine musicians. There's nothing wrong with talented singers, anointed worship leaders. Delighted to say that we have that here at Mossvale Community Church. There's nothing wrong with singing upbeat songs. with wonderful melodies. There's nothing wrong with that. But as I set apart people, Mosvale Community Church, let our desire be to worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's the kind of worshippers that the Lord is looking for. Jesus tells us in John 4, after he spends time with the woman at the well, he says, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Is that us? Mosvale, let it be. That's what the Lord is looking for. Sincere worship. There's all about Jesus. So we've looked at trendy evangelism, trendy worship. I want to look at trendy doctrine. We've touched upon this already. This is when we care more about the image that we're portraying rather than sharing the truth of the gospel. An image that's cool, an image that's accepting rather than convicting. This is when we deliver a message that tickles your ears. You know, there's a message in the world today that says you can be anything you want. You can be an independent woman. You can be an independent man. You can be whatever you want. In the words of Frank Sinatra, you can do it your way. Or an inspirational quote that I absolutely loathe. You do you. You heard that? You do you. You do what makes you feel good. I despise it. I despise it with every part of my being. For a start, you are not called to be an independent woman, as Beyoncé would sing. We're called to be dependent women, dependent on God. We're called to be dependent men, dependent on God. You're not called to do it your way. You're called to do it Yahweh, His way. And we're not called to do what makes us feel good. We're called to honor God and bring glory to His name. This is nonsense. It's not biblical. It's not for us as a set apart people that have been called to be different. Let me read what Paul says. For the time will come, 2 Timothy, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Did you read that? A time is coming, it may even be here now, where people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Lord help us. So do you have itchy ears? Do you only want to hear things, listen to things that tickle your ears, make you feel good? Basically, that's what we're talking about here. When we have itching ears, we no longer want to tune into the Holy Spirit. We no longer want to be shaped and molded by the truth. We no longer want to be convicted of our sin, because that just makes us feel uncomfortable. Instead, what we'll do is we'll dilute the Word of God and we'll align it with our own selfish desires. That's what happens. It's less convicting that way. It's less uncomfortable that way. We like a preacher that preaches like that. We don't like the other preachers because they make us feel uncomfortable. Now, don't hear me wrong. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not saying that we all have to go out feeling full of shame and condemnation. That is not what this is about. It's not about that. There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts us in order to change us, to transform us so that we can be more like Jesus. To be transformed by Jesus. There are so many ear-tickling messages in our world today, in the media today. Messages that are all about the pursuit of our own happiness. About prosperity. Rather than God's desire. Rather than God's will. Danny preached on that not long ago. Pastors even that want to preach a message that will win over their congregation, that will win followers and likes and compliments at the door at the end to be popular. But let me tell you something about that. That's ego. That is ego. I'm preaching to myself here. That is not what, as pastors, as shepherds, that we have been called to. And if we shall use the stage for that, then we shouldn't be here. I'd as well put my coat on and go home, because that's not what the platform is for. This is to showcase Jesus. This is to teach His truths. What you should hear, what you should see is Jesus. In all His entirety, ear-tickling messages will never bring us to a place of surrender. ear-tickling messages will not lead us to repentance. It might sound nice, might make you feel good, but it won't move you to surrender. So we've got a choice, haven't we? We've got a choice what we listen to. If you're in Chendon Church and you're constantly hearing a message that makes you feel good, can I encourage you, question it. Question what you're listening to. You're watching sermons on YouTube. It's all about prosperity and happiness. Question it. Question everything that you're listening to. Because we don't want to slip into this. Now, I'm not saying that it needs to be uncomfortable, taxing your seat, as my mum would say, every single Sunday. But in order to become more like Jesus, there needs to be change. So ask yourself the question, am I being sanctified? Is what I'm hearing, is it changing me? Is there transformation? Is there healing? Have I changed my mindset? Has there been a change in perspective? Am I sounding more like Jesus? Am I looking more like Jesus? You can all ask those questions of yourself. As Christ followers, we need to be aware, I believe, of the dangers of trendy Christianity and the traps of fashionable faith, as I've mentioned today. We need to ask God, as I've said already, for wisdom and discernment so that we don't fall into this, because I believe there's been an element of this that can be blended with just enough truth to make us believe that this is right and it's not right. We must only accept the truth of the gospel and reject anything else. Our desire must be to follow Christ and to pursue him with all of our heart. Here's a scenario for you. Next week, and it's just a scenario, this is not happening, okay? I'll just make that clear. Next week, you're coming to church. But in order to get here next week, church, you're going to have to take 3 buses. Then you're going to have to walk 4 miles. And then when you get here, Ernie, there's not going to be any comfortable seats. And then when you go through after the service, there's not going to be any great coffee to drink. We're not going to have a band. They're not going to be here next week. And the preacher, well, they're going to preach for as long as the Holy Spirit leads them. And they're not going to try and fit it in 15 minutes just to impress you all. Can I share a funny story? If I get time. 7 or 8 years ago, I was asked to preach at a big church in Glasgow. And I had my sermon all ready. I was going to preach on Joshua and marching around the walls of Jericho. And I turned up, Danny, you'll remember this, and I turned up and I went to the deacon's court, all men. And I entered in and they said, "Hello, wee lassie." And I said, "Hello, I'm your speaker today." "Okay. 15 minutes and no more. And if you preach any more than 15 minutes, the organist will start to play." This is a true story. And I thought, they're joking. Must be a joke. So I goes to preach. I was away up. Do you remember this? I was away up in a wee tower, away up here, all 5 foot of me. I was looking out at the congregation and I'm just getting into it. Joshua and his men and they're marching around the walls of Jericho. And I see coming towards me at 12 minutes in, the organist. And I was above this big old-fashioned organ with the pipes and all that. And he gets himself seated and he looks up at me. And I'm still preaching. And I look down at him. I'm still preaching. I'm not moving. He gets his papers. Starts to ruffle his papers. I thought he's going to go. He's actually going to start to play. So we compromised 18 minutes in. Anyway, let's get back to our scenario. 3 buses, 4 mile walk. Preacher's going to preach for 3 hours. There's not going to be a sound system. There's not going to be a praise band. Who's coming? Few hands. Who's coming next week? Let me tell you something about the early church. The early church had none of that. None of it. They weren't popular. In fact, they were persecuted. They didn't have Instagram followers. They didn't have trendy equipment. All they had was the gospel message. And all they had was love in their hearts. But let me tell you something about the church during that time. The church grew. And it grew. And it spread, and we had the diaspora, didn't we? And it moved, and it moved, and it moved. Why? Because they did not need all of that, because all they needed was Jesus. And all they needed was the power of the gospel that was at work within them, because Jesus is awesome. And it was because of the love of Jesus, and it was because of the gospel message that they were sharing, and it was because they were showing love, and they were showing kindness, and they were being compassionate, because they were being like Jesus. It was because of all of that that thousands and thousands and thousands of people were saved, and the church was established. So let's not change that. Let's be that kind of church that showcases Jesus. Pastor Hugh already preached on a lot of this, actually, on that Sunday, where he talked about the fact that God's not looking for a church here at Mossvale Community Church filled with Christians, filled with believers that stand true to the gospel message, that are not afraid to be set apart, that are not afraid to be different. You see, you like me might have grown up going, I'm really different. Why am I not the same as everybody else? And felt like my whole life that I'd fell short for some reason because I was different. But now I can celebrate. I'm different. And I'm comfortable with being different, because it's the power of Christ that's in me that makes me different. And when I'm different because of the Holy Spirit, it empowers me to share God's truth. And that's what leads our friends and family members to Jesus. As a church, the band can come back. Let's be bolder rather than trendier. Let's be more loving rather than popular. At Mossvale Community Church, let's be different. Let's be comfortable with being different. Let's not apologize for being different. Let's showcase Jesus in all that we say and do. Let's build his kingdom for his honor and for his glory. And may we see all of our unsaved friends and family members filling the seats and aisles in this church. Believe it, church, because it's the power of Christ that is in you. So go and share it with boldness. You won't make them feel uncomfortable. They'll feel the love of Jesus. So let's be different. Let's stand together as a people that are different. Let's pray. Father God, we give thanks for your word. We thank you that it is truth, that it is alive. I pray, Father God, that those who have had ears to hear today will have heard what you're saying, the challenge that you're presenting for us as a church as we go forward, Lord God, as we go forth, as we are led by your Spirit here at Mossvale Community Church. We want to be known as a church that loves. We want to be known as a church that loves Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we want to truly love other people, Lord. We want to love other people like the way you love. So, Lord, would you help us to be different, to be that set apart people? Would you grant us your wisdom and your sword of light to discern the truth so that we can walk in that truth and walk in that life? Lord, we present ourselves before you, King Jesus, this morning. We're asking you, Lord, to change us. We're asking you, Lord, to transform our minds, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would have the heart of Christ, and that Christ, that you would be glorified in everything that is said, sung, and done here at Mossvale Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God right now. Let's give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that is due his mighty name. In Jesus' name.